all the good things come to an end. So glad that y'all are here with us. Nani, are we doing okay? So we're going to do children's church for 3 to 4s, 3 to 5s. Everybody who goes with Miss Helen, ready, break. There you go. Miss Helen's age. If you think you're Miss Helen's age, if you're close to Miss Helen's age, yeah. There we go. It's our little ones. Everybody else, we're staying in here. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. I'm going to try to keep this service, and I know you'll be thankful all about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was intended to be a Thanksgiving meal. It was intended, and that's really what the idea of the word Eucharist. Have you ever heard it meant called the Eucharist, this meal? That's the idea is Thanksgiving, to give thanks for what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's what this is about. Have you ever heard this meal called communion? It's not much a meal, by the way. Us big guys think, you know, oh, don't call it a meal. You know, like the Lord's Supper, you get higher expectations in your mind. We're looking for some lamb and some good stuff to eat. But the truth is, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the communion is all intended for us to remember gratefully what Jesus Christ has done for us in the death, burial, and resurrection through the gospel. That's what it's meant to be. That's what it's meant for. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. It's going to kind of be our guide for this, but I'm not going to preach and expose all of it, but it's so good. I just want us to hear it in light of this. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 through 11. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. For I am the least of the apostles." Oops, that was a rerun there. Verse 10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Let me pray for us. Father God, as we've heard your scripture, apply it to our hearts. Help us to remember when we first heard the gospel. Help us to understand whether we've truly received your life-saving message or not. Help us, Father, to further understand that we are what we are if we're in your family by the grace of God and no other reason. We're not worthy in ourselves to be called Christians or children of God for that matter. So, Lord, help us. Help us to hold tightly to those things you've given us and to the cross. And Father, help us to be grateful. Nothing is worse than an ungrateful child. Nothing is more foul to our senses than someone who takes the gifts that were given them and turns their nose up to them and wants more and better, and they're just completely ungrateful. Help us not to be that way. Help us to be the exact opposite, joyful in gratitude and rejoicing because of what you've done for us and who you are to us. And Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Paul just says, look, the gospel that I received, I give to you. It's like that hair club for men. You know, they show the guy out there that has a head full of hair, and you know that 5 years earlier he was as bald as a cue ball, but now he's got hair, and he says, look, I'm not just the client. I'm not just the president, but I'm also a client. You know, and he's got the hair to prove it. You know, it's like that with the gospel. I'm not just the preacher. I'm a guy who's been saved by Jesus Christ, and that's why I can even offer these things, and that's why I say these things. This is our testimony. I hope you have a testimony. I want to share my testimony. I shared it on Facebook somewhat, and I'm not going to share more than what I wrote on there, but I just kind of want to rehearse it, because when I think about being grateful before the Lord, when I think about what this juice and what this bread symbolizes, I realize, man, I'm just thankful that I have an opportunity to know the Lord. And I'll tell you, my opportunity to know the Lord is unique, and so is yours if you know him. Isn't it funny that God, who loves you, made a custom-made plan to come and save you? The way he saved me, the way he drew me, wouldn't have worked on you. And the way it worked on you wouldn't have worked on me. He had to find me right where I was, and he had to find you right where you were, if you know him, to save you and to catch you up. Let me just share mine, and I want you to think of yours. And then we're going to, in a grateful spirit, share the Lord's Supper together. Amen? Are y'all for that? Big high five. Ready? All right, good. Sorry. Had to do the big high five. There's a poem by Robert Frost, and the very last stanza says something like this. I'm paraphrasing because my brain's not working great this morning. It's a little congested, and my Sunday school class can tell you I've had a problem with words, so pray with me today. It says, there were two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled, and that made all the difference. That reminds me of my testimony. It was 20 years ago in the fall of 1994 that I heard and listened to the gospel for the very first time. I may have heard the gospel before as I got thinking about it. Somebody may have tried to share it with me, but I didn't listen because I thought they were religious freaks, weirdos, lame-os, whatever you want to call them. They didn't make any sense to me, and they didn't seem to have a bit of fun in their life. I didn't want to have anything to do with them. Everybody I knew was into the same things I was in. They were into pornography. They were into drinking a lot. And they were into smoking pot. We were into gaming and violence. We were all into all this stuff. It's what we did. And it wasn't just people my age. And you might say, man, there's young people here. I'm glad there's young people here. Because, you know, there's people younger than me that were into the same things. And I can't even begin to tell you how young I was when I started doing those things. Very, very young. But there's also people a lot older than me that did it. It wasn't like I was the oldest one in the group. There was family members decades older than me that had those same issues in their life. And they hadn't outgrown them. They hadn't turned them loose. And I watched what happened in their lives. There was a destructiveness. There was an anger. There was almost like this desire to justify themselves was so strong that they would say there was no sin in their life and there was no sin at all and this was all just natural and normal. And if people got hurt, that was their fault for getting hurt. And I saw in my life I was hurting people. Not always physically, mentally, emotionally. I was lying to people. I was using, abusing people. Sometimes it did get physical. In my life, I had an opportunity to work in a bar and to throw people out. But every once in a while, for sport, we would pick on somebody that was really drunk, and we would make an example of them. What kind of life was that? It was heading to destruction, but that was surely the road that I was on. But as I sat with my friend and his dad at 1620 Mill Street in Lincoln Park, Michigan, they started explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. And they said, John, you know, there really is a God. And he really does count sin. You know, there's a way you can sin against this God. And then he really made a way for you to be right with him through the cross of Jesus Christ. And you can ask him to be your Lord and Savior. He's willing to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. If you'll simply ask, if you'll... You just say, Lord, forgive me, come into my life and be my Lord, take over. You know, he's willing to do that. He's willing to take you from the familiar road of destruction that you're on and put you on a different road, to change your direction, to go from hellbound to destined for heaven, from the downward spiral to the upward walk on the high road. He'll do that for you. Did y'all know that? I mean, is that part of your testimony? Have you seen that there's a different road yet in your life? I hope that you will someday. I hope if you haven't, you will. You'll see that the same old way of living and dying is not what we're destined for. That there is a different road that we can take. Not everyone's beginning road downward spiral was like mine. Some downward spirals are like the Pharisees' road. That was Paul's road. He was a Pharisee. He was moral. He stayed away from drinking and drugging and weird relationships with the opposite sex. He stayed away from that or any sexual relationships. He stayed away from it. He kept himself pure and above the fray. But what did that lead to? That led him to end up persecuting the church, blaspheming the name of Jesus. Is that life any better and any less destructive than my life was? No, he needed to be saved too. He needed to find there was a different road. If you think about Paul's testimony, he was on the road to Damascus. He was on the road to persecute the church. He was on the road of self-righteousness, gonna make it to heaven by my goodness, when Jesus slapped him off his high horse, his eyes were open, and he gave his life to Christ and was saved and put on a completely different road. Having heard the gospel message, just like Paul says here, he says, we've preached the gospel to you. Here's the components of it. He says, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. I'm not just a preacher. I'm a client of the gospel. I've been changed. That's what Paul says. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. You might say, what is that? In our world, we almost seem like to take the gospel as if it's so irrelevant to my everyday life. Can I tell you, there's nothing more relevant to your everyday life than knowing that what Christ has done for you can put you on a whole new road in a whole new direction and keep you in that way. Because that's exactly what God did for me and for Paul. Not that I want to compare myself to Paul. But he got saved by Christ. I got saved by Christ. And our lives changed. In my life, I started going to a church, and I was so anti-church. I was so anti-religious. I was even anti-God. Where I grew up, most everybody was Catholic. And you had to convince the ladies, first and foremost, that God wasn't that interested in things before the relationship took the turns that you hoped it would turn. So you usually had to have some kind of anti-God speech to help them along with the relationship. And I had one really good anti-God speech. I was anti-God, anti-religion, anti-church for my own purposes and my own means, my own satisfactions. So after Christ got a hold of me, I ended up in a church, in a Baptist church, looking around at all these strange people. And you know what I found out about them? They had all been sinners too, and they had given their life to Christ at some time. And we had this thing in common, and I ended up not being so weird after I got in there, but I realized, you know, when I first heard the gospel, I didn't know anybody who lived that way. I didn't know anybody who loved God until God saved me from that road and put me on that other road, and all of a sudden now I had like this whole company of people with me. And it seemed like we all knew this secret. Have y'all found out the secret? Jesus is saving sinners. That's the secret. He's transforming lives. He's renewing spirits. He's restoring souls. Have you found that secret? Isn't it awesome when he takes you from the one road and puts you on the other? And he says, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to make you my own. And I have a purpose for you. Oh, man. That when I think about my testimony, it becomes who cares what happened before. Can I tell you that afterwards, I know in myself, without the grace of God, I could not be a husband, not a faithful husband, not a providing husband, not a protecting husband. I still struggle with being an attentive and loving husband. My wife's in the room. She can give testimony. Still kind of have this selfish man nature in me, you know? But I see Christ winning even in that. Couldn't be a father. I was an only child. Oh, man, as an only child, you learn really quick. You got to take care of yourself. You take care of yourself. You make strides together for yourself. But any parent knows when you have kids, it's not even about you anymore. You become the parent of so-and-so. I'm Joshua, Levi, Allie, and Anna's dad. That's who I am now. John died 13 years ago, and no one even had a funeral. And now, but what a grace. What an amazing thing to be able to step outside of myself and have a wholehearted, unconditional love and say, wow, I want you to do better than I have ever done. I want you to go further than I've ever gone. This is part of his grace in me, to be a part of a church and a leader in a church. I once was a persecutor of the church, a blasphemer of God. That's what Paul said. Hey, and that's part of my testimony too. Just didn't believe. How can I? Why am I the guy up here? Why aren't you the people up here? Why aren't you the people who have lived your whole life under the covenant grace of God in a house full of believers and parent believers? Why aren't you up here? Surely you got more invested in this than I do. I'm a newcomer compared to most folks. I've only been a Christian now 20 years. That's young in Christian years. I'm looking at these guys. That's young. That really is. That's young in Christian years. You guys will get there. Got the young guys in front of me going, 20 years? That guy sure is old. You got to be at least 25 in a car to even be considered antique. But anyway. But for 20 years walking with him, and you know why? You know why I think he did this? It's just a picture of his grace to take those things that don't make any sense, to take the weak things of the world, the base things of the world, and to put to shame to wise, to make a big, just almost to make fun of the devil and to get glory for himself. He says, hey, look, wasn't this, hey, Satan, wasn't Big John, wasn't he your Job? Wasn't he the guy you were proud of? Wasn't he the guy who walked in path with you? Watch what I can do. Boop, boom. And he put me here with a Bible in my hand. I'm going, you know, thus saith the Lord now. Who did that but God? I don't belong here. I don't deserve to be here. It's all grace. It's a touchdown for Jesus. That's all it is. It's a win. It's a victory. It's him triumphing over darkness. I don't belong here in front of God's faithful people, not in any church. And you know, God's invited me to many churches to speak his word, even from the time I was newly saved. And I preached longer than I do now. Over time and wisdom, I've realized I have to shorten it up. But back then, I didn't care because I was so full of the Word, because I read the Word for hours every day, and I just would let it come out. And it just didn't seem to matter because I was saved. And it just didn't seem to matter what anyone thought or where anyone had to go. Now, that was immature because other people ought to matter. But I'm just telling you, I have no business up here. None whatsoever outside of the grace of God. I went and got a seminary degree because he called me into ministry. But a seminary degree does not qualify you for being the preacher behind the pulpit. I am what I am, just like Paul says in verse 10, by the grace of God I am what I am. By the grace of God. So let me ask you, where do you stand that you don't deserve to stand? Do you get to lead a family? Do you get to be a part of something that's good that God has given to you? Do you get to be the influence in the life of others? Do you get to be the salt and the light in your community, at your workplace? Where do you get to stand that you have no business to stand outside the grace of God? That's why we want to give them praise. That's why we want to say thank you, Jesus. That's why we want to lift our hands up. I know, Baptist Church, we're so borderline Pentecostal by lifting our hands up. Lift your hands up. Say something. Hallelujah. Amen if you feel it. Come on. Are you somewhere where you don't belong to be, but God has graciously put you there? If so, give them thanks. That's the wonderful part of our testimony. We don't deserve what he's given us, but he's putting us there by grace because of what Jesus has done. Oh, where would I have been now without Jesus? Where would I have been now without him? I look, you know, just like in all families, there's family traditions that I could have followed in. I could follow it in the footstep of my father. I could follow it in the footstep of my uncles. All people whom I love could have followed the footsteps of my grandfather. All people that I love. But he had me to follow a whole different way. A better way. He had me by grace to attain to what was completely outside of my nature and ability and example, except for the example that Christ has led for me. I wouldn't want to follow any other example. And can I tell you, even if you've come from the most wonderful, well-bred family in the world, that don't cut it in the family of God, and you should also forsake the example that you have in the sense of earthly goodness and follow the example of Christ. Let your parents, where they did right, encourage you on towards Christ. But in places where the family tradition breaks down, keep your eyes on Jesus and go to places where he alone can take you. Amen? Are y'all grateful yet? Anybody grateful yet? Anybody excited yet? We're going to take the Lord's Supper. I just want to know what your testimony. Where would you be without Jesus? As we come up here, where would you be without Jesus? You know, when I visit the prison, and I'm there in Parchman, and it's time to go, and I've spent a weekend with those guys, and you get to know them, and you're prayed for them, they always, almost inevitably, I don't think I've ever been there without them saying this: you ought to stay. You belong here. Say, you're right. They don't even know how right. You know, outside the grace of God, where would I be without Jesus? I think maybe not that one, but there's a Parchman in Michigan. It's called Jackson State Penitentiary. I belong there. They know it. I know it. The devil knows it. God knows it. If God hadn't changed his way, if God hadn't changed my way, rather, if God wouldn't have changed me, that's where I'd be. I would have reaped what I sown. So will you. But he has a way of saving us, redeeming us, transferring us from one family to another, that we might be thankful. Oh, this morning we're going to take the Lord's Supper. I didn't ask anybody to help me, so I'm about to put some men on the spot and just see. You know, we'll test their merit here. LG, will you help me with the Lord's Supper? We got one pass. You know, Johnny Holman, will you help me? Okay. And Mr. Wyman, would you help me? All right, come on up. We're going to do it. Yes, sir. Nothing? Okay. Thank you. Oh, y'all were volunteering to help? All right. In about 2 feet from now, you can help. Okay. I'm sorry. The Lord's Supper, let me just read the instructions from 1 Corinthians, almost right where we were. Of course, I lost my place now. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 11. This is what it says. Just like he received the gospel, he also received instruction on the Lord's Supper, and that's what he passes on to us, the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that which the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, this is the part where we do a little bit of reflection, and I'm going to pray for us before we do this. Therefore, Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man, woman, and child who's going to take this, because our children are eligible to take the Lord's Supper if they've made a personal profession of faith. Every man, woman, and child examine themselves so that they, and so let them eat and of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But it says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So what that's saying is, the Lord's Supper is a wonderful time. It's a time for the community of believers to share. But examine yourself and make sure you're in that community of believers. Make sure that the Lord Jesus is your Lord, that you are his disciple, his child. This is for the body of Christ. You don't have to belong to this church. We have guests here from the school where I teach in Greenwood, and so glad to have them here. And I told them, you know, as long as they know the Lord, they're welcome here. You don't have to be from a specific church, this church or that church. You just got to know the Lord. And then we share with everyone who knows the Lord. It's just how we do. And so you just see for yourself if you're in the Lord. Let me pray for us, and we'll take the Lord's Supper. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Help us right now, Lord, to examine ourselves. Paul said he received what he taught. He said that about the gospel, and he said that about the Lord's Supper. Help us all right now to determine, to discern if we are, if we have received the gospel, if we truly are yours, if we belong to you, Father, help us right now in our own heart and mind to discern that and to tell if we really are believers in Christ. If there be someone here who's not, Father, would you convict them of their sin and convince them of the gospel even now, that this might be the day that they change their mind, that this might be the day that they ask, Lord Jesus, the one who said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will they make him, will they say, yes, Lord, I will come. Yes, Lord, I will give myself to you. Lord, just help them to have this time right now in Jesus' name. Just stay in a moment of prayer. And if you need to do business with God, just do it right now, briefly, but urgently. And just do that right now. And Father, then having just a moment of reflection, we do trust that you acknowledged where we all stand. And now may we as a group of grateful children come to your table, recognizing that you made a covenant in your blood and your body was broken for our sake, for our enjoyment, that one day will lead us to heaven, to where we'll enjoy your presence forevermore. Help us, Father, to be grateful, smiling, rejoicing people as we take this Lord's Supper. And we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Johnny, Jesus' body was broken for you, and his blood was shed for you. LG, Jesus' body was broken for you, and his blood was shed for you. You can do it because he loves you. I'm going to give you this one. I'm going to give you this one. Brother Wyman, his body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you because he loves you. Yeah. When you're done, I'm going to have you hold the bread and then I'll take a cup. All right, I know we're quiet, and I know it's kind of a quiet time, but don't let the silence or the quiet, you know, quench your joy. Let it be brewing or something like that on the inside. So we're going to come and take, if you know the Lord, and you can gratefully say, thank you, Jesus. Let's try that on three. One, two, three.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I said, if you can gratefully say. Gratefulness is a little louder than that. Ready? One, two, three.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You come forward now and take the Lord's Supper. You come to the bread and then to the cup. Praise God. Praise God. And we're going to have our morning offering. But y'all listen. There's a song. I don't know what it's. I think it's just called Smile. And look it up online. I got it on my Facebook page. It's Kirk Franklin. He's like a choir leader in the genre of black gospel music. And he's great. He's got so much good stuff. If you don't know Kirk Franklin, you ought to get familiar with him. But he has a song called Smile. And at the end of that song, he says, I'm not asking that you be happy, because to be happy, you got to have something happening. He says, I want you to have joy. And when you know the Lord Jesus, you can have joy, a deep, abiding, living inside you joy that never fades away. And for that, you can be thankful. Father God, seal us up with a thankfulness. And as we have this offering, Lord, just bless us. And we look to you for our provision. We don't have a provider outside of you. We don't have a way of meeting future or present needs besides the work that you do. So, Father, would you help us and lead us and provide? We look to you, Lord, our Savior. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.